Teil A, Hörverstehen Englisch 2026. Fachhochschulreife Baden-Württemberg, Haupttermin.
Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. You now have time to read the assignment. One.
Globally, only around 20% of clothes are reused or recycled. The majority of the stuff we wear goes to landfill or is incinerated. If you look at the United States, for example, in the last 20 years, fashion waste has doubled. It now stands at around 14 million tons per year. That's 80 pounds or 36 kilos per person.
Two.
Low quality is the main business driver for most textile brands today. And you do that because you want people to buy as much of your stuff as possible. And that, of course, is not a very good driver to have from a resource point of view, because it's not a very responsible way of using the resources in the world.
Three.
The first company I've been looking at is focusing on parents whose babies are rocketing up the clove sizes.
Okay.
This operates as a kind of membership scheme. Parents pay a monthly fee for bundles of baby clothes and cute things like caps and gloves. And then they can choose 8, 16 or 24 of these items in the system. And they get updated as the child grows up.
Four.
Renting clothes, this is like an old idea that we're just rediscovering. I mean, I remember growing up in my local market, there was a shop where you could rent out, you know, special items like fancy dress items or maybe scout uniforms for a jamboree or, you know, things that you only used once. So, I mean, that kind of thing's been going on for a long time.
Five.
So I think if your only goal was purely to save money, I don't think you would choose this particular renting option. But for middle-class families with a green conscience, who also want organic clothes and the convenience of all the clothes being sent to you like a kind of online grocery shop because you haven't got much time, this could be perhaps an appealing solution.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
Globally, only around 20% of clothes are reused or recycled. The majority of the stuff we wear goes to landfill or is incinerated. If you look at the United States, for example, in the last 20 years, fashion waste has doubled. It now stands at around 14 million tons per year. That's 80 pounds or 36 kilos per person.
2.
Low quality is the main business driver for most textile brands today. And you do that because you want people to buy as much of your stuff as possible. And that, of course, is not a very good driver to have from a resource point of view, because it's not a very responsible way of using the resources in the world.
3.
The first company I've been looking at is focusing on parents whose babies are rocketing up the clove sizes.
Okay.
This operates as a kind of membership scheme. Parents pay a monthly fee for bundles of baby clothes and cute things like caps and gloves. And then they can choose 8, 16 or 24 of these items in the system. And they get updated as the child grows up.
4.
Renting clothes, this is like an old idea that we're just rediscovering. I mean, I remember growing up in my local market, there was a shop where you could rent out, you know, special items like fancy dress items or maybe scout uniforms for a jamboree or, you know, things that you only used once. So, I mean, that kind of thing's been going on for a long time.
5.
So I think if your only goal was purely to save money, I don't think you would choose this particular renting option. But for middle-class families with a green conscience, who also want organic clothes and the convenience of all the clothes being sent to you like a kind of online grocery shop because you haven't got much time, this could be perhaps an appealing solution.
Task 2. You now have time to read the assignment.
Nine out of 10 Americans do not eat enough vegetables. For some, the challenge is the time it takes to make a salad or roast broccoli. But a new TikTok trend aims to make eating your greens super simple. It's called Dinosaur Time. It may sound a little silly, but reporter Sarah Bowden looked into it.
To do Dinosaur Time, you take a handful of plain leafy greens, give them a rinse, and then shove them in your mouth, perhaps while standing over your kitchen sink. Humans have been eating raw greens for millennia. But one of the first people to do this on TikTok seems to be a former science teacher named Amy Garrett.
I've been trying to eat more greens with every meal recently, and I have figured out like the best life hack for me that works for me, and so I thought I'd show you.
While she eats the greens, the Jurassic Park theme plays in the background. Garrett's TikTok handle is SAHMThingsUp, and she has nearly 50,000 followers. She often reminds them that dinosaur time is not a meal replacement or a way to lose weight. What it is a strategy to add leafy greens to your diet.
I think it's just so easy.
Emma Longshow of Boston says she's already polished off 3 bags of spinach because of dinosaur time and is eating her way through a fourth.
No cleanup, no meal prep needed. Helps with food waste.
Leafy greens are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. They're a rich source of fiber, vitamins K and C, calcium, iron, and research shows they can reduce the risk of certain cancers and heart disease. So who cares if you're getting all of these benefits while pretending to be a giant reptile?
So the first time I was thinking of that scene in Jurassic Park where they're seeing like I think it's like a brontosaurus, the like long neck one where he's like chomping on the trees.
Longshow likes spinach and doesn't mind eating it plain before a dinner of mac and cheese or a sandwich. For some people, that would taste disgusting. Which is okay, says Andrea Mathis, a registered dietitian in Alabama.
there are other ways that you can really enjoy spinach instead of eating it by the handfuls.
Mathis suggests blending spinach or kale into a smoothie. You might not even taste it. Or wrap up some leafy greens with lean turkey as a snack.
I also like to add them to omelets. And if you're making a sandwich, I like to substitute the lettuce for spinach leaves sometimes.
She says food should be enjoyable. And parents are sharing on TikTok that dinosaur time is a fun way to get kids to try new vegetables. That doesn't surprise Julie Stefanski, a registered dietitian in Pennsylvania.
Many children won't touch certain foods because it looks wet or how it feels.
And if kids don't want to touch a food, they're not going to eat it. But when pretending to be dinosaurs, kids are touching vegetables they might otherwise avoid, which is a win even if they don't end up eating anything. The important thing is they're exploring a new food.
Giving kids the space to do that on their own is so important in having, you know, a balanced diet.
Stefanski suspects that the popularity of dinosaur time will eventually go extinct. She suggests something that's nearly as easy is microwaving a bag of frozen veggies and throwing a little seasoning on top. But if you're like me and hate doing dishes, dinosaur time might be worth a try. Though I would not recommend starting with arugula, which I found to be a little spicy. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Bowden.
Now listen to the recording again.
9 out of 10 Americans do not eat enough vegetables. For some, the challenge is the time it takes to make a salad or roast broccoli. But a new TikTok trend aims to make eating your greens super simple. It's called dinosaur time. It may sound a little silly, but reporter Sarah Bowden looked into it.
To do dinosaur time, you take a handful of plain leafy greens, give them a rinse, and then shove them in your mouth. Perhaps while standing over your kitchen sink. Humans have been eating raw greens for millennia, but one of the first people to do this on TikTok seems to be a former science teacher named Amy Garrett.
I've been trying to eat more greens with every meal recently, and I have figured out like the best life hack for me that works for me, and so I thought I'd show you.
While she eats the greens, the Jurassic Park theme plays in the background. Garrett's TikTok handle is SAHMThingsUp, and she has nearly 50,000 followers. She often reminds them that dinosaur time is not a meal replacement or a way to lose weight. What it is a strategy to add leafy greens to your diet.
I think it's just so easy.
Emma Longstow of Boston says she's already polished off 3 bags of spinach because of dinosaur time and is eating her way through a fourth.
No cleanup, no meal prep needed. Helps with food waste.
Leafy greens are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. They're a rich source of fiber, vitamins K and C, calcium, iron, and research shows they can reduce the risk of certain cancers and heart disease. So who cares if you're getting all of these benefits while pretending to be a giant reptile?
So the first time I was thinking of that scene in Jurassic Park where they're seeing like I think it's like a brontosaurus, the like long neck one where he's like chomping on the trees.
Longstow likes spinach and doesn't mind eating it plain before a dinner of mac and cheese or a sandwich. For some people, that would taste disgusting. Which is okay, says Andrea Mathis, a registered dietitian in Alabama.
There are other ways that you can really enjoy spinach instead of eating it by the handfuls.
Mathis suggests blending spinach or kale into a smoothie. You might not even taste it. Or wrap up some leafy greens with lean turkey as a snack.
I also like to add them to omelets. And if you're making a sandwich, I like to substitute the lettuce for spinach leaves sometimes.
She says food should be enjoyable, and parents are sharing on TikTok that dinosaur time is a fun way to get kids to try new vegetables. That doesn't surprise Julie Stefanski, a registered dietitian in Pennsylvania.
Many children won't touch certain foods because it looks wet or how it feels.
And if kids don't want to touch a food, they're not going to eat it. But when pretending to be dinosaurs, kids are touching vegetables they might otherwise avoid, which is a win even if they don't end up eating anything. The important thing is they're exploring a new food.
Giving kids the space to do that on their own is so important in having, you know, a balanced diet.
Stefanski suspects that the popularity of dinosaur time will eventually go extinct. She suggests something that's nearly as easy is microwaving a bag of frozen veggies and throwing a little seasoning on top. But if you're like me and hate doing dishes, dinosaur time might be worth a try. Though I would not recommend starting with arugula, which I found to be a little spicy. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Bowden.
Task 3. You now have time to read the assignment.
You're listening to People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service, and today we're looking at ways to restore a valuable natural resource. Today we're talking about something called kelp. And kelp is a bit deceptive. It looks like brown, long, stringy underwater grass, but it's not actually a plant. It's a type of algae or seaweed, and similar to forests, kelp grows densely underwater and it plays a vital role in nature. Kelp forests provide a habitat for lots of fish and sea life. They also capture carbon from the atmosphere and remove nasty pollutants from water. Plus, we, human beings, also use kelp to make a lot of food and cosmetic products. But in the last 10 to 15 years, this natural resource has come under threat, especially because of climate change. Now, kelp needs cool water temperatures to grow. And scientists believe that as climate change makes seawater warmer, it's also affecting the growth of kelp. However, this is where our solutions today are trying to help. Our reporter, Craig Langren, is here to help us understand more about the problem. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Myra.
Now, Craig, when we started looking into this, I was looking around stores, even in my house, and I realized that stuff like these shampoo, soaps, and even toothpaste that's made out of kelp.
Yeah, so kelp's actually hidden away in all of these things that we use in our daily lives. Mm-hmm. A chemical derived from kelp is even sometimes used to thicken up ice cream.
Oh gosh, I love ice cream.
Oh, I could do with one right now.
I could, yeah. But anyway, let's stay focused. Kelp is also really important for protecting the planet against the effects of climate change.
Yeah, so the world's kelp forests actually store as much carbon as the Amazon. Mm-hmm. So this is massive. It's not a small amount we're talking about.
Wow, okay.
And they also form a natural barrier that can reduce the impact of those big waves that crash against the shore. And they protect the coast from erosion too. But these forests are disappearing at an alarming rate.
Right. But that brings us to our first solution today. Tell us a bit more about it, Craig.
Yeah, so I recently travelled to California in the US,
right,
where they've lost over 95% of their kelp forests in the last 10 years. And I went there to meet a team of scientists trying to find the perfect strain of climate-resistant kelp.
Let me understand this, right? So they are trying to develop climate-resistant kelp in the lab and then hoping to introduce this out at sea and regrow kelp forests. But Craig, currently this is only happening in the lab, right? So when do they hope to actually do this?
So they're hoping to start really soon. The first kelp should be replanted just a few weeks from now.
Okay.
They're also building up a seed bank of lots of different kelp strains. So if this test doesn't go as well as expected, they can try again.
But what we've heard today and how all this is helping restore kelp forests, thank you for your kelp.
Now listen to the recording again.
You're listening to People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service, and today we're looking at ways to restore a valuable natural resource. Today we're talking about something called kelp. And kelp is a bit deceptive. It looks like brown, long, stringy underwater grass, but it's not actually a plant. It's a type of algae or seaweed, and similar to forests, kelp grows densely underwater and it plays a vital role in nature. Kelp forests provide a habitat for lots of fish and sea life. They also capture carbon from the atmosphere and remove nasty pollutants from water. Plus, we, human beings, also use kelp to make a lot of food and cosmetic products. But in the last 10 to 15 years, this natural resource has come under threat, especially because of climate change. Now, kelp needs cool water temperatures to grow. And scientists believe that as climate change makes seawater warmer, it's also affecting the growth of kelp. However, this is where our solutions today are trying to help. Our reporter, Craig Langren, is here to help us understand more about the problem. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Myra.
Now, Craig, when we started looking into this, I was looking around stores, even in my house, and I realized that stuff like these shampoo, soaps, and even toothpaste that's made out of kelp.
Yeah, so kelp's actually hidden away in all of these things that we use in our daily lives. Mm-hmm. A chemical derived from kelp is even sometimes used to thicken up ice cream.
Oh gosh, I love ice cream. Oh,
I could do with one right now.
I could, yeah. But anyway, let's stay focused. Kelp is also really important for protecting the planet against the effects of climate change.
Yeah, so the world's kelp forests actually store as much carbon as the Amazon. Mm-hmm. So this is massive. It's not a small amount we're talking about.
Wow, okay.
And they also form a natural barrier that can reduce the impacts of those big waves that crash against the shore. And they protect the coast from erosion too. But these forests are disappearing at an alarming rate.
Right. But that brings us to our first solution today. Tell us a bit more about it, Craig.
Yeah, so I recently travelled to California in the US,
right,
where they've lost over 95% of their kelp forests in the last 10 years. And I went there to meet a team of scientists trying to find the perfect strain of climate-resistant kelp.
Let me understand this, right? So they are trying to develop climate-resistant kelp in the lab and then hoping to introduce this out at sea and regrow kelp forests. But Craig, currently this is only happening in the lab, right? So when do they hope to actually do this?
So they're hoping to start really soon. The first kelp should be replanted just a few weeks from now.
Okay.
They're also building up a seed bank of lots of different kelp strains. So if this test doesn't go as well as expected, they can try again.
For what we've heard today and how all this is helping restore kelp forests, thank you for your kelp.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.